Good evening. My name is Jeff Van Lanningham. I'm an alcoholic. Delighted to be here this evening with all of you. I want to thank the committee. I want to thank James for calling me, I think it was about a year ago or so. I want to thank Mark for picking me up at the airport today and giving me a ride over here to Grants Pass. Mark was sharing with me in the car that as he's gotten older, he has some memory issues sometimes. He said, but don't worry, I'll get you where you need to go, but I may forget to take you home. And I thought, well, by that definition, most of the women I've dated have had memory problems of some kind. So I don't know why, but I feel like going in this direction. When I was asked a year ago to speak, to come out here, I at the time was not flying. I had developed this debilitating, paralyzing fear of flying. And so I was trying as best I could to honor commitments and to continue to do what Alcoholics Anonymous would ask. And so when I had said yes to this originally, I was going to drive. And I live in Fargo, North Dakota, as you heard. And I've had several people ask me if that's real. Are you really from Fargo? And I am. I don't know why I would make that up. It's not really bragging rights of any kind. And I'm not in the movie nor the TV show. And I'm told do not have the accent that is depicted in those, but whatever. So anyway, I was planning on driving. And I got to tell you, it's really hard to drive across country to honor work and AA commitments, right? And I tried to do it, and it's a big grind. So, and I bring this up because I want to really talk, I'm going to actually segue into fear, and how dominant fear can be in an alcoholic's life. That's my icebreaker on the talk. Let's just jump right into fear. Yeah, real alcoholics will come along for the ride. So I started doing what you do with fear, which is to try and gather data and facts to outthink it, to outlogic it. And I started to look at flying and how ridiculous it is to have a fear of flying, right? Let me give you some stats. The odds of you being in a plane crash, conservatively, are about 1 in 11 million. If by chance you are that 1 in 11 million, 97% of those people survive without any injury. Most plane crashes will take place within the first 3 minutes. So literally, once you've gotten up out of the clouds, relax, you're good. It is by far the most safest form of travel that we've ever come up with. Now driving, on the other hand, driving to work, they say there's a 1 in 5,000 chance I could be in a fatal accident. I can't even imagine what they are driving across country, but I'm assuming it comes down a little bit lower, but much, much greater odds for injury or death. And yet my mind goes towards that, and I spent a year and a half doing that. Why? Because I would rather be in control with ridiculous odds than I would to try and trust something else outside of my control. This is a philosophy I carry with me into a lot of areas of my life, and it's going to cause me a lot of trouble, as you'll hear. It's a flawed part of my thinking. It's a makeup that I take with me. So right off the bat, I want to tell you this. I sometimes hear people, and I'm not disagreeing with them. It's just not my experience. But I sometimes hear people talk about, look, I was doing fine. Then I started drinking, and when I drink, I go down a terrible path, and defects of character suddenly materialize, and I become a person that I never wanted or intended to be. But once I stop drinking, I now can return to normal living. Thank God for AA that allowed me to put the plug in the jug. I'm good now. None of that is my experience. Going back, first of all, I was not good before I drank. There's been something wrong with me from as far back as I can remember, and I never knew what it was. I just always knew I felt odd, ill at ease in my own skin. Something's missing, right? I have this deep-seated gnawing, this head that talks to me a lot, tells me I'm not good enough, tells me that I can't do that, tells me why I